State and CIA director. Today at the White House press briefing, Sarah Sanders said the White House would be making sure that all these senators have the proper information on nominees.
We specifically want to make sure that people actually have an accurate reflection, which I know some of the senators, including Rand Paul, made comments off of incorrect information. So we certainly want to make sure that they actually have accurate information, particularly before they go out and speak on behalf of their constituents. And as a member of the United States Senate, we hope that they take that role very seriously.
Senator Paul has not responded to Sanders' comments. The University of Michigan today reported that U.S. consumer confidence hit a 14-year high this month as lower-income households reported feeling more optimistic about the economy. This is USA Radio News.
Attention shoppers, clean up on aisle 14. Clean up on aisle 14. Someone dropped a jar of pickles. Pickles. Kosher pickles.
Beatboxing at a big box store. Surprising. What's not surprising? How much you could save by switching to Geico.
A red minivan has the lights on in the parking lot.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
Geico.
Want to refresh your wardrobe and home? Get to Kohl's Friends and Family Sale and take an extra 20% off with promo code FRIEND. With an extra 20% off, LC Lauren Conrad floral tops are just $23.99. Jumping Beans tees are only $6.40. And a KitchenAid Artisan Stand Mixer is $299.99. And you'll get $60 Kohl's Cash. A spring refresh for the family, Kohl's Cash for you, right now at Kohl's. Select styles. Offers valid March 14th through 18th. Some exclusions apply. See store or Kohl's.com for details.
At least six people are confirmed dead after a 950-ton pedestrian bridge at Florida International University collapsed in Miami-Dade County yesterday. Miami-Dade Police Chief Juan Perez spoke earlier today at a press conference.
It's important that we understand this is a homicide investigation. That's all it is. That is it. It's not mean that there is criminal charges looming or pending or anything like that. Is there a possibility for that? There's always a possibility for anything like that to occur.
A Democratic member of Congress has died. USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes reports from Washington.
Democratic Representative Louise Slaughter of upstate New York was serving her 16th term in Congress and was the top Democrat on the House Rules Committee. Slaughter was known as a champion of women's rights and issues. Her chief of staff says Slaughter died early Friday at a Washington, D.C. hospital after she was injured in a fall at her D.C. area home earlier in the week. Congresswoman Louise Slaughter was 88.
This is USA Radio News.
It's an amazing song.
You know, I've never told anybody my story.
From Irwin Brothers Entertainment comes I Can Only Imagine.
When I was 11 years old, life was tough.
Discover the untold story behind the beloved song that inspired millions.
My dad was a monster, and I saw God transform him, so I wrote this song. For my dad.
I Can Only Imagine. Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested. Now playing. Go to ICanOnlyImagine.com.
Earlier this week, President Donald Trump fired Secretary of State Rex Tillerson. Now we're learning 3 days after he was let go, Secretary of State Tillerson sent out a message to American diplomats saying he was proud of them and would be cheering for their success. Tillerson said, quote, "Know that I will continue to pray for our country, our leaders, and your efforts to make this world a better place than what we found it," close quote. Recently, Hillary Clinton was in India promoting her new book, What Happened? Hillary had some very interesting comments about white women's voting habits. Take a listen.
We don't do well with married white women. Part of that is an identification with the Republican Party and a sort of ongoing pressure to vote the way that your husband, your boss, your son, whoever, believes you should.
After those comments, many folks were questioning whether Hillary Clinton could really be a true feminist icon. Tammy Bruce is the president of the Independent Women's Voice. She says this degrading of women has been going on for years if they don't agree with you politically.
So this notion that to degrade women with whom you disagree, that's not unusual. We've heard it constantly, and it's been generally a threat that what makes us important, what makes us who we are, is going to be erased if you don't pay allegiance to the liberal point of view.
For USA Radio News, my name is Tim Berg.
Well, I guess Listening to that news was interesting for me. Let's talk about the weather, and if I can find my sheet of who's sponsoring the weather today, we'll talk about that, and then I'll tell you about a beautiful weekend that we should have, look forward to, and not quite as warm as we'd like, but spring is coming.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
Okay, what about weather? We're going to be back in a minute with the sports guys, but just wanted to let you know that it looks beautiful, sunny out there, so I guess we really didn't get the scattered snow showers that could have come up today. Tomorrow should be sunny, high near 46 degrees, not much wind, so it should be a beautiful day. And then Sunday, a little bit cooler. But again, a sunny day, and into Monday, again, a sunny high near 43 degrees. So the next 3 days should be beautiful, mostly clear evenings, colder, obviously freezing. So be careful out there if there's any standing water, because tonight it's going down to about 22 degrees. Again, tomorrow night the same, and again on Sunday night, Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday night, it's going to be cold. And I know I have water in one part of a deck, and it's sheer ice in the morning. So do be careful about the black ice. And we'll be back with the sports guys after playing a couple spots, and hope you do support our sponsors.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in a critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
Okay, good afternoon. It's the sports guys, and right now you have one sports guy. I'm Pat Smits, and I should be joined by Bill Wolfson. I don't think John is going to be able to make it today. He might be able to call in. But since you've got me, you've got Packer news. And it was really sad, a sad week, a very sad week. And I don't know if anyone who's not lived in a sports town or a sports state And, you know, like Wisconsin, Green Bay Packers, you know, Green Bay is really a small town in comparison with all of the other, you know, or certainly most of the other, if not all the other places with NFL franchises. And I think it's probably maybe comparable to what happens in Buffalo, although Buffalo is a larger city. But the players in Green Bay really become part of the community, especially if they've been on the team for a long time. And although Jordy did not have a good season last year, and some people would say he's not certainly not back to 100% after he was out with that serious injury for a year, we were all looking forward. You know, Aaron Rodgers was also out last year. And so, you know, Huntley did not throw to Jordy. On the other hand, I don't think that can be blamed on Jordy Nelson. Nobody did. So what happened is was really a shock. And even Nelson said he did not see it coming. And in fact, what he said, he after being released by the Packers, and by the way, he has already been signed by the Oakland Raiders. So he was released on Tuesday. He's been signed by the Oakland Raiders yesterday. And I think actually there were a number of other teams that would have done the bidding and should have. So what Jordy said is obviously that was a shock to the system, not something you want to hear after you've been somewhere for 10 years. And, you know, after the Packers released Nelson, the general manager, and, of course, this is the guy who replaced Ted Thompson, and I'm not sure I can even pronounce his name. I don't know much about him. This is Brian Gunt. I think it's Gunt. Well, it's Gunt and Costa. And Bill has just walked in. So, Bill, I'm talking about Jordy Nelson, so you can have a few minutes to get yourself situated here. So anyway, what Brian said is, that they made a tough decision. Well, I think most of the fans would say, baloney, you could have made a better decision. There are always tough decisions to make. Yes, there is a salary cap, and yes, you have to be concerned about it, but someone like Jordy probably could have renegotiated his contract and still, you know, wouldn't have had a problem under the salary cap. But in any event, Brian said, that Jordy is a really good player and you certainly don't want to let him walk out the door. And that was what Gunt-nust. I haven't heard his name pronounced, so I really don't know how to pronounce it. But this is a big puzzle. And there's limitations. You can't keep everybody. And we went through this. We thought this was in our best interest, the best interest for our team moving forward. Well, I think a lot of people would disagree. There are some players on that team that are more than just what they do on the field. They're part of the community. They're just, Jordy Nelson is one. I was also not at all happy when they got rid of Donald Driver. There was at least an understanding when Brett Favre retired and Aaron Rodgers came back. But to not give Jordy another year to play with Aaron Rodgers, I think most diehard Packer fans, are not going to be happy. You know, if it didn't work out mid-season, then there might have been something else to do about it. But at this point, can't believe it. And I'm sure that Nelson and, you know, I know Packer fans because I've heard from so many of them, were really shocked at this notice. So, you know, even though it was reported that the Packers offered Nelson a restructured contract where he would earn only $1 or $2 million, Nelson turned that down and led the Packers led to the Packers releasing him so he could test the free agent market. Well, tested he did, and he signed a contract with the Raiders where he will earn $15 million in two seasons. And he was entering the final year of his contract with the Packers, so everybody thought that he would play out that year. And although he was scheduled to make over $12 million based on yearly salary and bonuses, you know, probably could have renegotiated his contract for something reasonable. So what the big boys are saying is that they saved $10 million of cap space, you know, which with that move, which led them to signing a number of other players, including Jimmy Graham and Muhammad Wilkerson, etc. And however, I don't think that will make up for the loss and you know, the loss to Aaron Rodgers, because Jordy Nelson was one of his few go-to guys. I mean, he could really count on him getting down there, and if he wasn't double-teamed, you know, although he might not be playing quite the way he was playing 8 or 9 years ago, he was, you know, just really phenomenal. He was drafted in 2008. He recorded 550 receptions in his career, almost 8,000 yards, 69 touchdowns. And, of course, his best season came in 2014 when he had 13 touchdowns and over 1,500 yards. And he won the Comeback Player of the Year in 2016 after posting over 1,200 yards and 14 touchdowns. And that was just a year after he tore his ACL and missed the entire 2015 season. So, yeah, the 2017 was a disappointing year because he only had six touchdowns and caught 53 passes. But let's remember who the quarterback in 2017 was. He wasn't playing with Aaron Rodgers. And, frankly, I'm really surprised that, you know, somehow Aaron couldn't have persuaded the powers to be to keep Jordy for another year, and you know, then he would have played out his contract and would have been a different story. But Bill has joined me, so one of the trades that the quarter they did get, the Packers got the quarterback Deshaun Kizer from the Browns. Any comment on that? I mean, he's got to be better than Huntley, I have to say. I think what they needed is somebody who could really step in if Aaron goes down the way he did this last year.
That's right, Pat. I think that the Packers took the same risk the Eagles did with Carson Wentz. When Wentz went down, the Eagles struggled and then got very, very lucky that Foles turned out to be as talented as he proved in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, and but Foles had been around for a while.
Oh, yeah, Foles so, was no rookie. Foles actually was the starting quarterback for a while under Chip Kelly. But
right.
The problem that we had in Philadelphia was that Foles appeared to have worn out his welcome, got traded to the Rams, bounced around a little bit, almost gave up football, came back when he was invited back to Eagles camp. Carson Wentz, of course, is now going to be a third-year man. This was really his second year. He really had what it took. But it just goes to show you that football may have to move to a system, very much like hockey or baseball, where you've got good, solid backups who could play anywhere.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I don't think there's any question, but I think that what is shocking everybody in Green Bay is the fact that, you know, Jordy did come back from the ACL in 2016, played well. You know, granted, he may not be playing quite as well as he did a few years ago, but not to give him the opportunity to come back and play another year with Aaron Rodgers. I think that's what has everyone shocked. And, I mean, he admitted that he was shocked. Another player, and I don't know much about him, is that the Packers are getting is Muhammad Wilkerson. Do you know much about him?
Muhammad Wilkerson?
Right.
Muhammad Wilkerson was a New York Jet last time.
Right. Yeah, he was. In fact, I think
he released, I thought.
No, he was picked up by the Packers. I don't know if he was released.
He was picked up by the Packers. Well, he's going to be a real addition to the Packers' defense because Muhammad Wilkerson is a great defensive player. He's aggressive. He's fast. He also has natural quickness despite being, I think, 30 or 31 years old.
Is he that old?
I think so. But remember that Wilkerson has a large contract with the Jets that I think he signed 2 or 3 years ago with some years to run. And when the Jets cut Wilkerson, they cut him. The interesting thing, moving along, though, is that the Eagles released Vinnie Curry. And right after, they traded for defensive end Michael Bennett. Plus, with the emergence of rookie Derek Barnett, Curry was probably going to end up being a backup in 2018, and $11 million against the Eagles' salary cap was really going to be a hit. The Eagles didn't release Curry sooner, I think because they were trying to trade him or get him to restructure. If he was still on the roster past Friday, $5 million of his $9 million base salary would have been guaranteed. So, releasing him when they did yesterday, the Eagles saved $5 million. And they can use that to add another wide receiver or another tight end to areas where they've lost key contributors over the past week.
Were they that worried about the cap?
Yeah, they're always worried about the cap. But remember what just happened. The Eagles just traded Torrey Smith and Marcus Johnson. And tight end Brent Celek, who they had for years, was released. And Trey Burton, who played a real important role in the Super Bowl, just signed a free agent deal with the Bears. So that only leaves Zach Ertz, the only tight end who's on the 53-man roster throughout the season. It's tough to see a guy like Vinnie Curry go because he was an exciting football player. He was drafted second round in 2012 out of Marshall. And at 14, he had nine sacks, career high, even though he played only a third of the snaps. Curry didn't quite make that category since, but he may have been going downhill, which I think is also why the Eagles let him go. When the Eagles began playing Barnett, who was their first-round pick in 2017, and he had five sacks and 41% of the defensive snaps. Curry played 56% of those snaps. Barnett is expected to get a much bigger role this season, and remember, with Bennett, Eagles just acquired from the Seahawks, he had 8.5 sacks. And they also have Brandon Graham coming off a career best 9.5 sacks, and backup Chris Long returning at defensive end. So we've got some pretty good defensive players. The sad thing, though, is that Curry, who was a local, grew up in Neptune, New Jersey, and had tremendous personal involvement in the community, and just loved being an Eagle, and loved being from Neptune, New Jersey, and really put a lot of himself out there in the community. So it's kind of sad to see him go, but, you know, business is business in football.
Well, I realize that, but I was surprised, for example, that the Packers traded Demarius Randall.
I was, I think, a
first round. As I recall, he was first round in 2015. And, you know, he was a draft out of Arizona State. He played for, he had, I think, 30 starts in the good tackles, 130 tackles. He really was... I just was very surprised at that, that they, and of course, I guess they needed to do some good trade in order to get Kizer. So I don't know, Kizer, obviously, they thought he was worth it. I don't know this new GM for the Packers. I really don't know anything about him. We know that Ted Thompson had been around for so many years, and in general, Ted Thompson had done some really good, they had some really good draft picks during Ted's years as general manager.
What's the story, though? The Packers seem to be trying to make a play for Kyle Fuller from the Bears. What's the scoop on that?
I don't know. I really, I don't know. I know that, the Packers generally, and one of the reasons I was so surprised about Demarius Randle is that the Packers, if you look back, now not consistently, but pretty consistently, they've drafted the players on that team. They don't do as many trades as so many of the other teams.
Where do you think Jordy Nelson ends up? Or is he already done?
No, he's already been signed. You didn't come in when I said this. He's with the Raiders. He signed a contract 2 days after he was released. He'll earn $15 million in two seasons.
Well, and he's going to play in Vegas.
And he's going to play with the Raiders.
The Oakland Raiders.
So when they open in Vegas, he's going to be right there.
Another exciting guy for them to watch.
Hopefully
the Vegas team will have as much success as the Vegas hockey team has been having.
Well, I think that, look how quickly they scooped him up. In fact, I am surprised that the Packers, didn't try to trade him. They released him. Now, granted, he can go out there and find out what he's worth as a free agent, but, they only had one more year of his contract. So I'm, as I said, he was shocked. The whole Green Bay community is shocked.
Well, sometimes GMs and coaches make mistakes, and sometimes they see something that we don't see. Other times, they just see that they're not going to get the value that they wanted. Because probably Nelson wanted a longer-term contract of 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, but they could have waited. They didn't have to do anything for another year.
That's right. They should have waited.
They should have waited. And the reason that, as I said earlier, the reason I think they should have waited is with Aaron Rodgers back, Jordy was such a go-to guy for Aaron Rodgers for those deep, Hail Mary-type passes. And
the other thing, too, with Nelson, if you notice, soft hands, decent speed, and a lot of what I call end zone smarts or red zone smarts.
Right.
I've seen him make some moves that you would not have expected. I think Green Bay made a mistake.
Oh, I think they made a huge mistake.
And you know something? It cuts, as loyal as Green Bay fans are and as devoted to their team, this is something that has to take every Green Bay fan aback.
Well, especially Green Bay fans, because as I said before you got here, Green Bay is a small town. When you have someone who has been on the team for that long and is that visible, they become part of the community. They really do. I don't know if anyone from the East Coast, Philadelphia, New York, can even understand that. I told this last year when one day that Aaron Rodgers said to Huntley, let's go out to a movie. And Huntley said, well, you can't possibly go to a movie in Green Bay. And Aaron Rodgers said, yes, I can. They went to the movie. Nobody bothered them. Obviously, everybody knew who they were. But they're just accepted in the community. But you would never, at least I would never, go up and ask for an autograph or try to talk to them. But they really, their kids go to school. They're just part of the community. They did this. They've done it a couple times, all of a sudden I'm blanking on who went to the Vikings a couple years ago and who else went out to the Raiders or somebody else.
Brett Favre went to the Vikings.
Well, no, I'm not talking about Brett. Brett went to the Jets initially, and then when he went to the Vikings. No, I'm talking about somebody they released who then signed with the Vikings, did a great job. And also a player from a couple years ago who went out and had a terrific year with the Oakland Raiders. And, I'll think about it when we're off the air.
I have to tell you that I think releasing Jordy Nelson is inexplicable. Somebody knows something that nobody else knows, in all likelihood. Meanwhile, Pat, Philadelphia Flyers are slowly sinking out of playoff contention. They're now just a hair ahead of Columbus, and they are desperately clinging to third place in the Metro Division, having lost to Columbus last night 4-3. You know, they gave up two goals to Columbus within 11 seconds in the first period, battled back with a mid-first period goal by Claude Giroux, then gave up another goal just at the end of the first period, which to me is always a crushing heartbreaker in hockey when you give up a goal in the last minute before the end of a period. And then clawed their way back to 4-3, pulled Peter Mrazek, who was not having a good game for Alex Lyon's goal, and then gave up an empty net goal after they pulled Lyon's with about a minute left to go. The Flyers are really hitting a rough patch, just like their November-December 10-game losing streak. It would be a real shame to see them collapse. I wonder whether this means we may see a coach other than Peter Hextall next year.
Well, and what happened to them? I mean, you know, once again, it was, let's talk about this after playing a couple spots. But, I mean, once again, you know, we really thought that, you know, this might be the year. So we'll be back and talk a little bit more about that. And then I want to talk about one of the surprise players in baseball in spring training.
This is Tony Clark, paraplanner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody right there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Okay, we're back with the sports guys. Before you start, Bill, I know you want to talk more hockey, but do you know who this is batting in spring training?
I can't can't see the picture.
Well, I'm going to show you the picture. I don't want you to look at the headline. Too bad we're not on television.
Oh, let's see. Looks like Aaron.
No, don't you read it. Don't you dare read it.
I can't tell.
Okay, let me tell you. And this would be somebody that we are used to seeing on the football field. So, all right, don't you dare read it. I get to read it. No, I get to read it. So apparently, and actually it shouldn't be that surprising, because Russell Wilson was pinch hitting in a spring training game against the Braves in Tampa, Florida. He struck out at his only at-bat of the Yankees 5-4 loss. However, Wilson was a former minor leaguer and apparently is spending a week in camp with the team. And, you know, so that, I guess we can't expect him back as a Seahawks quarterback, but I thought that was rather interesting. And one of the things that I was thinking of going to Arizona, but one of the things that is a problem now in certain areas, both in Florida and in Arizona, there's so many people that go down to watch spring training games that it can be hard to get accommodations. So that, you know, that's, you know, one of the interesting things. But the other thing that was at least a headline is since most pitchers are frustrated hitters, not frustrated because they can't hit, but because they gave up hitting before the game weeded them out. You know, one of the things that, you know, they've been told is concentrate on pitching, and that was that. But, you know, if you're a good hitter in high school because you're an athlete, why not, you know, keep working at it? Because there's so many games that are lost because a pitcher just, you know, is not able to hit. Now, what do you think is better? Which league do you think is better, where the pitchers don't hit or where they have to hit?
I think there's more fun because of the strategy in a National League where the pitchers get to bat, because it's always a question of do you pull the pitcher and put in a pinch hitter. But the games tend to be more exciting in the American League because the pitcher doesn't bat. You've got a more skilled designated hitter who comes off the bench and hits for the pitcher. I like the idea of the experimentation. I like the idea that it's more exciting. But there's more strategy for those out there who are baseball purists. But to be honest, I think the American League is probably more fun because the DH gives you the room for that extra outfielder or corner infielder or catcher who can really drive the ball but doesn't need to play every day, or who may not have great defensive skills or may have had good defensive skills but doesn't anymore, but who can still really hit the ball reliably. I enjoy the DH. I think it was a good idea when it first came in. What, it's almost 30 years now?
Yeah, it's been a long time.
A long time. And I know if I want to see a game without the DH, I go to a National League ballpark. If I want to see a designated hitter, well, they're in Baltimore or the Yankees or Fenway. So, but you know, it's really cool that Russell Wilson had an at-bat at the Yankees.
Yeah, for all those Yankee fans out there, I guess that would be a bit of trivia that a lot of people wouldn't know which quarterback in the NFL also was playing in spring training. And one of the things I know about spring training is that, even, you know, all of these old guys who have loved baseball, they have special camps for them to go down. I think it's either right before spring training or during spring training, and they can go to these camps. I know I had a cousin that used to do that, and you know, because he loved baseball.
If you love baseball and you want to go to one of those camps and hang out with some of your childhood heroes, I suppose that's the thing to do. Baseball has an interesting quality to it. You don't have to be a great player to enjoy the game while you're playing. It is because it's not as fast-paced as a lot of other sports. It's not a collision sport, unless you're the shortstop or the catcher. You have less chance of getting hurt, but on the other hand,
Well, sliding into bases can be, fun sometimes.
It is. As long as you don't do it face first after your parents have just paid for a lot of braces and dental work. The curious thing for me, though, is somebody once said the beauty of baseball was you could play it on a hot Sunday afternoon in a field after three beers.
or a few more than that. But why is it that pitchers are notoriously poor hitters?
They don't take batting practice, first of all. Secondly, they don't really focus on the art of hitting because hitting itself is an art. Even if you believe such great sages as Reggie Jackson or Derek Jeter, who took pride in his batting, what you're going to find is that hitting is probably the most difficult skill in sport. Where else are you in the Hall of Fame if you fail 7 times out of 10?
That's an interesting comment, isn't it?
Yeah. All my comments are interesting.
Well, I don't know about that.
But the end result is that a 300 hitter lifetime, you're a Hall of Fame ball player.
That's true.
Where else can you fail 7 times out of 10 and be considered great?
Well, and where else, and maybe I should think about this and I'll think of a few more, but where else is your individual performance so important in a team sport?
Oh, that's true. Football with a quarterback, certainly, but the quarterback depends on somebody to catch the ball.
Right.
Baseball, it's really
it's one-on-one.
The pitcher and the batter, it's like the matador and the bull in a bullfight.
But the matador has a horse.
Well, that's true.
No, it really is true.
I thought the matador was a guy that stood there with the cape and the sword, and the picadors were the ones on the horse.
Well, that's true, but they have other people helping them, But no, actually, very often, depends on the bullfight, but very often they may start on a horse.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I'm not a bullfight aficionado, so it shows what I know. Despite being in Spain, in Mexico, but getting back to baseball, when you look at it, it's a tremendous, it's tremendous because the ball is coming at the batter anywhere from 80 to 100 miles an hour. The batter does not really know what the pitch is going to be. Is it a fastball, a slider, a curve, a knuckleball, a split-fingered fastball, a forkball, who knows? And you've got about 3/4 of a second between the time the ball is released from the pitcher's hand until it crosses the plate. So you have to get the barrel of the bat on that ball after you've made the decision to swing. And a lot of people find that hitting a baseball is the most difficult thing they can do. I know in high school I was not a particularly good athlete, but because I could wait for a pitch, especially a curveball, I'm not bragging, I could actually hit a ball that broke once. I had watched the pitcher at least once before. The very interesting thing in baseball is that if you can make contact with the ball, you have accomplished 90% of the hitter's job. And everything else, the difference between a good hitter and a great hitter, good hitters make contact. Great hitters can make contact and drive the ball where the fielders are not able to play it.
Yeah, and of course, that is so tough, the better, when you get up to the major leagues. I mean, Even we used to have, American Legion baseball. And these guys were really good. I mean, that was in the Midwest. That's what you did every weekend.
Yeah.
You went to American Legion games. And, of course, there were high school games, too. And football has always been huge. But in the summer, that's what everybody did. They went to American Legion games. And every kid in every small town was hoping that he'd make it up to the, you know, the majors. And there usually was one really outstanding player in every town.
Well, if you even go now to places on the Eastern Shore of Maryland where the Delmarva Shorebirds have a really nice small minor league ballpark in, I think it's Cambridge, Maryland or Eastern Maryland, you will see that there is the Eastern Shore Baseball Hall of Fame.
Oh.
And each town, each seafood company, each oyster shucking or packing house had their own team. And
well, see, in Wisconsin, it was every bar had its own team.
Well, that's the same how it is here in New Jersey, too. And every church had a team. It was truly then a national pastime.
Yeah, I can't imagine any of the kids would have wanted to play Legion ball on a church team. They'd rather have the bars.
Well, the bar would be more fun, but if you were under drinking age, it would be a little tough to get on the bar team.
Nope, not at all. Remember, in Wisconsin, when I grew up, it was there was an 18-year-old age for drinking, at least beer. There were beer bars, and then there were other bars. And so that meant when you were probably 15 or 16, you were able to go into the beer bars, and then by the time you got to 18, you went to the other bars. So,
well, that could be. I can tell you that it used to be a great source of pleasure and amusement. I grew up next to a farm, and it was a cattle farm, and there were a couple of bulls, and it was always kind of fun to friend with the son of the farmer. Our job on Sundays to give each of the bulls a bucket of beer, and the bulls
really?
It helps them put on weight. They enjoy it. It's good for their digestion. But it's really amusing to watch an 800-pound animal get a little loaded and start frolicking around.
Wow, that's interesting. I have to tell you, I never did that. And with our, you know, Herefords, they did not get beer.
Well, apparently this is an Eastern European custom, and the farmer was somebody from Eastern Europe or Southern Central Europe. And
so what beer did they prefer?
You know, I think it was probably Ballantine or Rheingold or one of the old brands that was cheap. There's no point in wasting.
So, I mean, what did you do? I mean, you're telling me a bucket of beer. Did you pour the bottles into the bucket? I mean, this is interesting.
No. My friend's dad had a barrel of beer that sat in the refrigerator. It was a half barrel. And the family were beer drinkers, as like my family, they were beer drinkers also, occasionally some wine. But what would happen was that every Sunday, every bull would get his Sunday treat.
Well, how many bulls did they have? I mean, most farms, you know, didn't have many. I mean, how
about two or three.
And how many cows did they have?
Probably 60 or 80.
Wow, that's
remember, the bulls only had one job.
Yep, we know what their job was, and we won't go there. This is a family program, so let's get back to sports. We've now. So, what's going to happen to your Flyers?
Well, you know, I think Dave Haxtell has his job cut out for him. He's got to show that he really is a leader and to get this team going. The Columbus defense made it very, very, very hard for the Flyers. The frustrations are really mounting, I have to tell you, in Philadelphia. We're down to 11 games for this team to get things together, so we need to see how it's going. The team's certainly showing a lack of depth, particularly through the middle. Wayne Simmons isn't really back yet. The difficulty that I see is that depth at center is really a growing factor in the NHL. It's very important. The problem, though, is I think Philadelphia is not getting the defense that they need. Once you get past Shane Batisbeher and Ivan Provorov, the defense is getting really lacking. I think Travis Sanheim will come along. Robert Hag, jury's out on. I don't know where this team is going. Everybody says, well, being strong up the middle is important, but there's got to be better awareness in the defensive zone, because usually the wings are typically only tasked with defending the opposing wing on man-to-man coverages. But the problem is when you have a defense that is getting trouble, plus the Flyers have not had solid goaltending throughout the year.
Well, isn't that really, I mean, the goaltending's got to be the most important thing, doesn't it? As a casual hockey viewer, I mean, it just seems to me that, you know, when you have just an outstanding goalie, you know, they can really make the difference in a win. You know, they, you know, instead of a, you know, 2-1 game, it can be a 0-1 game if, you know, if they're making the blocks that they should.
Well, 11 games left to show what they're about. The problem that you have is...
So what do they need to win?
They need to show better defense. Remember, on February 26th, 3 weeks ago, they had a 1-0 shootout win in Montreal, and they were in first place in the Metropolitan Division, 13 points ahead of the Islanders, the team just outside the wild card spot, and 16 points ahead of Florida. Since then, the Flyers have lost 6 out of 7 and dropped to third place.
Wow.
They're a sliver ahead of Columbus. But this skid is making the season slip away. With the Flyers, and I can see that having lost what I call a must-win game last night against Columbus at home, giving up 2 goals in 11 seconds, that was tough. They put Alex Lyons in to replace Peter Mrazek after he gave up 4 goals. But what happened was that with an empty net goal, we had that was scored towards the end of the game, the Flyers almost came back. This is a team that looks like it's good enough to lose every game by 1 goal.
Bill, I don't know if people have been hearing you. You're in Mark 4. Okay, sorry, folks. I think that you have not been hearing Bill because you have not been using the mic that was by your chair. Sorry out there if all you were doing was hearing me. No, now I have your mic on. Now I have the right mic on. The one you've been talking about.
The show's just about over. It's time for us to... tell everybody what I've got lined up. On the 30th of this month, we're going to be bringing in the local boxing gym.
Well, we better talk about the... I'm not sure the station is open on the 30th because that's Good Friday. So
is that Good Friday?
We'll have to check out that one,
I guess,
folks.
We will. Otherwise, we'll bring them in April.
And so why don't we just catch up now that Bill is finally on? Why don't we catch up with some of our spots, and then I'll
hit those money buttons, Pat.
I'll shut up and not talk for the rest of it and let him tell you everything that you probably... It was a great conversation. Unfortunately, I'm not sure if our viewers actually heard it.
Well,
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families.
Liquidating.
Okay, Bill, we're on, and now you are on with the right microphone, and I do apologize because the wrong microphone was sitting in front of you, so obviously you were talking into the wrong, not the wrong microphone, but you were talking into the microphone that wasn't on the board.
Well,
so. Reiterate in 3 minutes everything that, or 4 minutes, everything that you've said so far.
Well, if brevity is the soul of wit, then I will tell you very simply, I'm worried about my Flyers. I don't think they're going to get into the playoffs. They've managed to go from being in first place on the 26th of February to hanging by their fingernails to third place. I think the goaltending is problematic. I think that the defense has also not been very good. They seem to be the kind of team that's built to lose every game by one goal. It used to be that you could count on them to put together a win streak. They've been a resilient team all year. Remember, they lost 10 straight and then came back and won 10 straight. This is a team that, for whatever reason, is just schizophrenic. Either they play great or they play terribly.
Yeah, but you know the problem is they're supposed to play great at the end of the season.
That's right. And you know you have Florida, the Florida Panthers, who've suddenly gone 8-1, and you've got the Columbus Blue Jackets, who were cratering, and now.
I mean, 8-1, that's got to be...
That's red hot.
I mean, unbelievable. It seems that in hockey, I guess baseball sometimes too.
It's one of the strangest of sports.
Yeah, it really is. That, well, I guess baseball can be the same sometimes.
Yeah.
But you're right, hockey just seems to be, you know, when you're down, you're down, and you keep, you know, down.
Well, folks, it's 6 o'clock. I'm going to wish everybody a great holiday. It's almost 6 o'clock. It's 5:48. Not a great holiday, a great weekend.
And a great holiday, St. Patrick's Day.
That's right. It is coming up tomorrow. Excuse me. St. Patrick's Day. And I am going to for the ceremonial reopening of the boat tomorrow.
Wow.
But we're going to stop at a restaurant in... I think it's Point Pleasant called the Shrimp Box First. I think it's not going to open till noon. So we're going to have a leisurely ride. I'm checking out a West Marine in Brick when we're going to go up to Point Pleasant. And then about 1 o'clock, 1:30 or so, I should be climbing up the ladder and seeing what awaits me on board, folks.
So I guess you're going to be happy that the weekend is sunny and... 40, 45, that's going to be pretty cold down at the shore.
Well, yes, it is, and hopefully it won't be too windy. We've got a lot of work to do this year. We're hoping to get a number of guests, though, on Friday afternoons here, and then I'll be taking off for the shore once we get the boat in the water.
So some of our next guests are going to be people involved in boxing?
Oh, yeah. Apparently there's something called Old Dog Boxing that just opened here in Raritan Township up on Route 31, almost to Ringo's.